Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Welcome to church today. I want to welcome our online community today for all those that are online with us this morning. It's great to have you here with us today at Impact Church. All the church news that we've just shared for those that are in the in-person gathering, all those details can be found on our website. So if you kind of didn't remember it all, because there's so much happening, there's so much more happening that we've got to share with you over the next few weeks, we want to make sure you capture it all. So our website is the portal to go to in terms of gathering all information about what's coming up in church life. Don't forget the picnic next week, straight after church, and let's make it a fun day, a family day. You can bring your friends and invite some people along. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have some scouts out there early in the morning. We've got our spot barred, and we're ready to go for the day. So please join in with us. That'll be a great day. Last weekend, as has already been said, was an amazing weekend, as it always is, here in our church for our Legacy Day, as we gather on that one Sunday to do something special as a faith community in terms of raising of funds towards our year plan, in our paying down our debt reduction, our mortgage, and some other things that we're preparing ourselves for financially. And our goal was $130,000, which was a lot of money as a big goal, and particularly in this season, that's a massive goal. And I love the way the church just steps up year after year after year. Last year, when we did this on the day, the promises and pledges last year was $90,000+, and our goal was $130,000. So it was 90 something on the day that was promised and also presented on the day. In total for the year last year, we well eclipsed that, and we well eclipsed the goal of $130,000. Last year it came in about $138,000, which is absolutely amazing in a COVID year. That is a staggering. The great news is this year, with our goal at $130,000, we eclipsed what happened on the day and with pledges last year's amount. And so I think it's just over $120,000 so far, which is that is phenomenal. It really is absolutely amazing to me that we would step up like that as a faith community. And let's just see what God will do throughout the year, that we smash through that barrier of 130. Who can believe that with me? Come on, who can believe that? In terms of, that's an above our weekly giving, our tithes and offerings. That's a special thing that we give to, and I know it's a big ask of all of us, and we just appreciate so much the heart of the church in standing up for that. If you've not had the opportunity to be involved, all the paperwork you need in terms of an offering envelope with our giving details and whatnot, if you're giving an offering, can be presented in that. There's a pledge card in terms of what you might promise to give over a 12-month period. Once again, you can complete that at the Ask Me desk, and also most importantly the promise card in terms of the things that you're believing God for, the miracles you're asking God to do in your world this year. We want to pray for you and with you, and so you can complete one of those at the Ask Me desk. Also, the one thing I want to remind you of in terms of your giving is when you give online, please reference it as legacy. Put legacy so that our bookkeepers can designate that to the legacy funds rather than it going in the general account in terms of our church finances. We'd greatly appreciate it if you would do that. That would help us help you. Well, good morning. Are you good today? I want to bring you special greetings from Pastor Denny Guglamucci from Adelaide. Pastor Denny is we call him our church grand pastor in terms of he just looks after us as pastors in our church here. And we have the opportunity to occasionally connect with him. And I flew over to be with him for a couple of days this week in Adelaide. And it's always an adventure when you're with Pastor Denny, and it's restaurant after restaurant after restaurant after cafe after cafe. He's Italian, and he just loves the whole hospitality factor of having friends with him. And so had a great few days with him, lots of great conversation about church world and where we're going and what we're doing and what our thoughts and plans and dreams and hopes and desires are, and just asking him to look over all of that and work it out with us. And he's just such a good man. You know, it's so important to have good friends. It is so important to have... And and in your world. Like the Bible says it was Peter and John. And you've always got to ask yourself, who's your and? Who's your and? Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? And I'm so privileged that we have the opportunity to walk closely with Pastor Danny in all of that. So he brings these thoughts and prayers to you today and wants you to know that he's thinking of all of us as a church. Here's our title today. It's called The Truth About Your Truth. The Truth About Your Truth. So I want to establish a conversation and begin a conversation for us today, and I want to hope to try and bring some truth to the truth that we each one carry. I want to do that as a pastor. It's really important to me to lead in this, and so let me read a few verses to set a platform. Ephesians 4, where Paul unpacks some concepts and ideas about the church and how the church should function. Do you know the function of the church? It's not accidental. It's not left up to someone to make up at all. It's in the scriptures, and we just need to discover the patterns. And here's the pattern. It says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Why did Christ give gifts to the church? Because he's head of the church. And when he went back to heaven, he gave gifts to bring leadership to the church, the faith community. And he says, these gifts are given by Christ to the church. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, and there are pastors, and there are teachers that fulfill different roles within the church. And it says their responsibility collectively and individually, whether someone's an evangelist, a prophet, apostle, whatever they are, their responsibility is to equip the church, to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We are always here equipping. That's what we do. Whether we do it in conversations, whether it's around a cafe table and sharing coffee and food and imparting for all of our leadership in our church. Can I say this to every leader in church? You're here to impart something to somebody. You're here to build somebody up. People should feel better when they walk away from you knowing you've given something into their world. And particularly what we're talking about today, bringing truth to their world. Bringing truth to the world of other people to build up the church. And Paul says this will continue. Everyone say this will. This will. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be more mature in the Lord. We'll be mature in the Lord. Our function is to help people grow up. Just look at your neighbour for a moment. In your head, just say, grow up. Don't utter it. Just say, grow up. That's the role. We want to bring people to maturity. That literally means to grow up. Such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And then when we get to that point, we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed to and fro, blown everywhere by every wind of, listen to this, new teaching. You know, there's new teachings coming all the time. Not just in church world, philosophically, ideologies, humanistic thoughts that come and are shared by influencers. There was a day when the pulpit was the influencer in the lives of Christians, and the pulpit held such great authority with the Word of God. But now that seems to be so watered down in the lives of so many. And there's other influencers that are trendy, that are beautiful, that are successful. Now, several things about me. I'm not beautiful. I'm not trendy. I'm not successful. None of that gives me a right to be an influencer. What gives me the right to be an influencer is a calling and the gifts of God that's upon my life. And, you know, it's so important who's leading. It's so important who you're holding hands with. It's so important who your end is, because your end is determined by your end. Your end is determined by your end. And it's very important to make sure you've got the right voices speaking and influencing your world, particularly if you're young, particularly if you're a millennial, particularly if you're in those younger generational zones, because we're so prone to the leadership of social media and the influences out there, and it's like everything they say or do or recommend or a certain look or whatever, and it's embraced so quickly without due thought for where that will lead, for where that will go, the shifts that are being introduced. So there's new teachings. And Paul says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know, that's the thing about lies. Lies are sugar-coated. They look very cleverly just like the truth. And it's hard sometimes to decide. And in this day and age, with a lot of stuff that's happening in our world, it's so difficult and challenging to work out what truth is. It's so challenging, it's so difficult, because we have a plethora. That just simply means, what does plethora mean? Plethora means we have a lot. We have a lot of avenues where information is coming at us. Information is coming all the time towards us and sharing different truths. And I somehow have to filter that. I have to filter that to determine what truth is. And they make lies cleverly sound like the truth. You know, Paul wrote these words. Sometimes I'm not sure we're fully aware of, you know, the times that the writings of scriptures were written to and just what was going on in the cultures and communities of the day. Paul wrote it to a very advanced city and in a very advanced group of people in terms of thought and understanding and wisdom. He wrote it to the believers in the city of Ephesus, which was a really modern, cosmopolitan type city. It was a very progressive city, far more than we could imagine. They had a lot of philosophy going on in that city, based in that city. A lot of ideology and concepts that people believe to be true. And Paul writes to them and says to this very trendy upmarket community, he says, I've got some things I want to say to you. I've got some things I want to say to help you grow up. In the midst of all this understanding and wisdom, worldly wisdom that's coming into your life, these influences that are bringing philosophies to you, I want to bring something from the Word of God that's just going to help you grow to be the person God wants you to be. Now, this series of thought I want to share and begin with today. Can I just say this, that this is for believers in the room today or online today that want to that don't want to remain as infants. Anyone in the room want to grow up? Come on, you're growing up physically whether you like it or not. Whether you grow up in your head, that's a whole different deal. How many people know people that are silly in the head, but physically they're mature? Yeah. There's a lot of that goes on. And so getting it right in our head so there's real substance to who we are as a human being and the space that we hold of intelligence and wisdom and understanding and education and the things of life and the Word of God, that's what I want to address, that there's some things we need to grow up in and some conversations we need to have. I want to help people grow in their faith and their confidence in God and their confidence in who they are in life, in calling, in gifting, in purpose, in the plan of God. I think that would be a good thing for all of us to have a security in, for all of us to be really anchored in. This sermon series is for people that want to mature above having one foot in the world and being influenced by that and the ideologies of this world, and people that want to really have their heart and their life in God's kingdom and in God's word and grow to be the mature believers that Paul is talking to us about here, who really want to move life forward. Anyone in the room want to do that? Yeah. That's what we want to do. Ephesians 4:15, the next verse, Paul says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. I want you to know that Paul says, speak the truth in love, not your truth, but the truth. How many of you know there is a big difference between your truth and the truth? A big, big difference between my truth and the truth that Paul is referencing here. And Paul encourages us to grow up in every way like Christ, to become more Christ-like as the body of Christ, to be equipped to do the work of building the church and the work of reaching the world and the work of doing the ministry. That's the responsibility of every single mature believer of Christ, to do that, to engage with that and to live with that. So the gifts and the abilities and the capacities that are on our life have the opportunity to be expressed. You know, the opportunity to be expressed and expressing our gifts and capacities, the opportunity comes as we engage with the truth of God's word, as we engage with the truth of who God is to us. And you know, my job as a pastor, my job is to help us do that. My job and the job of every leader in our church is to parent people in their faith, is to parent people in their faith. Parenting, it's a tough job. Tough job being a parent. A parent in the natural, you know, for young families, I see them in church having bubbies and you know, it's all exciting and beautiful, but these things grow. And they need training. They need development. You can't just leave them alone. These babies, they need to be nurtured. They need to be loved. They need to be provided for. They need to be protected. They need to be guided. You know, the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If you don't believe that truth, just have one. It's bound up in the heart of a child. A child needs discipline. A child needs faith-centered, Christ-centered, God-centered parenting. This real trendy thing about child-centered parenting, how about we have some faith-centered parenting? How about we have some Christ-centered parenting? And even bringing that into church world. So what a parent does is a parent from day one starts teaching truth to a child. We teach truth. We do it verbally. We do it visually. Visually, we probably do it more than verbally. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to show it. And it's amazing how much children pick up on the visual as opposed to the verbal. It's like they can ignore the verbal over and over again. You can say it and say it and say it, and will they never listen to me? But visually, you do it once, they've seen it, they've got it. That's the pattern. That's the way we do it. And they're always learning. They're little sponges. They're always learning, capturing information. And I think it's the biggest role that a parent plays in the life of a child is to raise a child so that a child will be mature. A child will be responsible. A child will be someone that can engage with the world in a positive, healthy way. And so a parent's role is to empower, much the same as a pastor's job. And so a pastor is like a parent to help parent the faith of people. Here's an influencer. How many of you recognize that name? Oprah Winfrey. We love her. Most people love Oprah because she's like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Anyone that's given cars away, you love them. And she's so generous in what she's done over the years, and she's such a powerful voice, and you know, that gives her, I guess, a certain level and a certain right to speak truth into the lives of people. I mean, she sat recently with Megan and Harry and asked Megan to tell the world her truth. Her truth. Her truth as opposed to the truth that was coming out of Buckingham Palace, or if I say it my way, her truth or the truth. Because there's lots of people saying the truth, but Oprah wanted to hear, tell me your truth. What's your truth? And I want to nail this verbiage today because it's in our world. It's in your world. It's in my world. It's in the world and hearts of and on the lips of many people today where they can ignore the truth because they have a truth. Ignore the truth because of my truth. Ignore the truth because of the truth that I host in my heart. I'm hanging on to my truth. Even though it's not the truth, I'm hanging on to my truth. And I'm just going to live my truth. And we hear people saying that today. So that's where I'm trying to get to and help us nail and understand today. Oprah said this. She said, speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. I want to destroy this statement today, is what I want to do, and land on another statement, because I don't believe this statement for one bit. Speaking your truth, she says, is the most powerful truth that we all have. She said that in the 2018 Golden Globe Awards. Now, nothing personal against Oprah. It's the philosophy, it's the ideology that I want to break down today, and I want to expose it today so that we understand, because we are all leading people in life and we're all being led in life. And I want us to understand there's a truth that we all need to submit to that's well beyond our truth, my little truth, my personal truth. You see, truth is not personal, truth is communal. Wow. It's not personal, it's communal. The truth is not something we decide, it's something we discover. You don't get to decide truth, you discover truth. The trouble with our world is it's deciding truth all the time. It's shifting the goalpost all the time. What used to be truth 20 years ago is no longer truth because it's presented that we've grown up in that area and we have a new truth. No, we don't. We've just denied a truth that was always a truth and we've moved into other spheres of deception. And we need to be really careful when it comes to the truth that we think is the truth. You see, we don't make up truth. Truth is made up for us. We don't make up truth. Truth is made up for us. In other words, truth was true before we knew it was true. And truth is always true. It's always true. That's the thing about truth. Truth is never wrong. Truth is true in every space that it's in. You see, some people are calling their experience the truth. Or they're calling their opinion the truth. Or they're calling their feelings the truth. And it's really common now to hear, you'll hear your teenagers say it, you'll hear younger generations say it, you'll hear some older generations say it, that it's common to hear people say, well, we can all just say different things because we all have our own truth. We all have our own truth. How perplexing is that? How do I know the truth if we all have the right to have our own truth? How does truth operate in that world? And the truth is it can't. And that's why this progression of thought is developing in our world. There's a breakdown and an attack on the truth that we understand and the truth that we have believed and the truth particularly in the church that we have adhered to and responded to. So for some people it's like, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. And maybe there's even a bit of that going on in here today. And I don't expect everyone's going to agree with me today. And, you know, mostly people don't always agree with me anyway. So I'm actually okay with that. But I'm here to challenge you today because that's my job. That's my role. That's my function. Like I've had people say to me, Pastor Tony, I love the way you share your truth. Now let me give you my truth. And it's like, what do you mean? I just thought there was the truth. The truth. Don't personalize it. It's the truth. You see, truth is not personal. It's corporate. It's for everybody is what truth is. But that verbiage has become popular. And here's my warning. It will become increasingly popular all around you. And we need to live with this and understand how we behave and respond with the truth. See, the trouble with your truth, and when I say your truth, I'm not talking about you, but that concept. The trouble with the concept of your truth or my truth is it's polarizing. It's really polarizing because it's personal, it's subjective, it's unaccountable, it's unquestionable. Now, I'm not advocating a denial of someone's experience. Our experience is our experience. Our opinions are our opinions. Our feelings are our feelings. And there is a sense that all of those are true to us because it happened to us, but it doesn't make it the truth. It doesn't mean it's true for the next person. See, that's the thing about truth. Truth is true for everybody, not just this one and not just that one. Because when you latch onto truth, you can apply the principle of what that is in that area of life, and the principle will turn into, let's call it a payoff, because the outcome is determined by whether it's true or not true. So I'm not here to devalue someone's experience, someone's opinion, or someone's feelings. What I am saying is just because you've experienced it, just because you've have an opinion about it, or just because you have feelings over it, doesn't make it necessarily the truth. You see, your story and opinions are valued, but they all come with a level of subjectivity and bias. They always do. They always do. There was a picture of a dress that went around our world on social media in about 2017. You may remember that dress. It was famous on social media for the thought of what colour is the dress, because people see that dress in different colours. The statistics are that 70% of people see it as white and gold, whereas 30% see the dress as dark blue and black. Well, the truth is that the dress, the real dress, is actually dark blue and black. The real dress. It's not actually white and it's not actually gold. But people see it that way. So 70% of people got the truth wrong. And yet that 70% will swear that it's white and gold. But there is a number of people that see it for what it is, as black and blue. You know, there are a lot of things going on in our society today that we think are gold and white or black and blue, but it might not necessarily be the way we see it. It might not necessarily be the way we see it. There are experiences and opinions and feelings today that are presented to us every day as truth. Every day as this is someone's truth and we need to adhere to it and listen to it. And the problem with the truth that people hold and host today is people are elevating their opinion and their truth to a combative state. Listen to this, to a combative state. Where it's become like a war between friends about believing this or believing that. And society is now censoring people who see things differently. And friends are censoring friends who see things differently. Whatever happened to the maturity of being able to host different opinions? Being able to hold the tension of that? That my friendship with you is not determined on you believing everything I believe or seeing everything as I see it. That we're not judged by that. We're not judged by the color of our skin. And we're not judged by the job we have or the nation we come from. Whatever happened to those values? See, society is now censoring and combating people for what they believe. And friends are censoring friends. And people are even being bullied for seeing things as they see them. You know, if we can't be honest in some spaces about what we see, the truth is we just can't. We can't be honest in some spaces about what we see without being threatened and for some people imposed on and for public figures even being cancelled and called out on that. And my response to that thought is this: just because we believe something to be true doesn't make it true. Just because we believe something to be true doesn't necessarily make it true. You see, when I watch rugby league, and I watch rugby league, and I love rugby league, and I love my team. When I watch my team play rugby league, I could swear that the ref is slanting the decisions against my team in favour of the other team. The problem with that, there's a whole group of other people who watch the same game, see the same decisions, and they could swear that the ref is slanting it against their team in favour of the other team. And so what happens is we're all yelling at the ref. And the ref, poor old ref, he can't get it right. No matter what decision he makes, half the crowd feels like they are against, that he's against them. And it all depends on, listen to this, what team you're on. It depends on what team you're on. Depends on who you're walking with as to the truth that you host and the truth that you hold. We all have truth filters that are filtering the truths that are presented to us. And our filters, they filter experience, they filter opinions, they filter feelings, and our filters are filtering information that's presented to us in a way that we want to see it. I can never get this word right. Our RAS system, our reticular activator system, that presents to us information in our brain that it thinks we want to know and presents it in a certain way and can present it as truth. Just because it's presented doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's necessarily true. You see, filters can fool us, form us, and they can fail us, and they can sometimes cause us to believe things that are not true in substance. False beliefs about ourselves. I'm not worthy. Of no value. And people walk around believing that and have all sorts of insecurities as a result of that and live really low in life about the self-view that they have because of a false belief. False belief about other people, about others and the way they engage and interact with others. False beliefs about God. So many people with false beliefs about God and the way that He operates within our world. False belief for believers about their function in the world and also within the church community, our fit, and also false beliefs about life itself. You know, the reason that I think most people are using this verbiage of my truth is to elevate their perspective about their experience or their opinion or their feelings so that it is indisputable. So that their truth becomes indisputable. By calling it their truth or my truth, what happens is they expect everyone else to instantly accept it on the same level as fact. because it's my truth. So they expect everyone else just to receive it, everyone else to just walk with it. And the trouble is, there's no accountability with my truth. There's no accountability with and no testing for my truth. And their truth often is very, very questionable. Let's go to the Urban Dictionary, because that's where everybody goes now to find out the definition of a term. This term, my truth, is defined in the Urban Dictionary as, listen to this, a convenient phrase for avoiding arguments because people can contradict your opinion but not your truth. They can contradict your opinion but not your truth. Your opinions and feelings are true to you, but they are not necessarily due to absolute truth. The phrase is often used when seeking to justify a controversial personal stance or action, because people, listen to this, are not allowed, this is not me, this is the Urban Dictionary, people are not allowed to argue with your truth. No one can question your truth. That's like, if I want to Christianese this, that's like when someone comes to me as a pastor and said, God told me to do this. It's like, well, once they've said that, I've got nothing to say. Because how many of you know Tony's not God? And when they say God said, well, Tony's got nothing to say at that point. How can Tony test that? How can Tony hold Brad accountable if Brad comes and says, God told me to do this? It's like, well, how do we know God actually told you, Brad? How do you hear God? Like, I don't know how Brad hears God. I know some believers hear God in really silly ways, really mysterious ways, really sinful ways, really selfish ways. To endorse something that God's truth in his word would never endorse. That's why the Bible talks about holding dearly the word of God, that which is already revealed as opposed to the concealed. And we've got to be very careful when we bring the concealed into revelation for people, because it's the revealed that is written truth, that's established truth for us. So the Urban Dictionary says we can't argue with somebody when they say it's their truth. And that's the reason for this new verbiage that has started to appear in society, of my truth and your truth, or our truth, as opposed to the truth, where we want everyone else to immediately accept our situation or our truth as the truth. And what it devalues is the common back and forth of conversation and negotiation and wisdom exchange to learn. You know, we learn by the asking of questions. We learn by discussion. We don't learn by being dogmatic. The rabbis, the way rabbis exchanged and learned and discovered the mysteries around God's word, is they would sit in a circle and they would discuss every facet of the teachings of the scriptures and ask questions about it and learn from each one, and not be dogmatic about a certain angle, but welcome every sort of facet of the discovery to get a fuller picture of what the scriptures mean. I think we learn a lot more about life and people and the principles of life and people by having that inquisitive, question-asking narrative where we exchange information rather than going, that's my truth. And don't question me about it. That's just my truth. I'll fight you over this. This is my truth. And you can't be in my tribe because you don't agree to my truth. And it's becoming very tribal in our society today in terms of the challenge of that truth. The problem with it is this, is what we believe to be true is not always truth. What we believe to be truth is not always truth. You see, I might believe in the tooth fairy when I'm a kid, because there's advantages in believing in the tooth fairy when you're a kid, because you get money. What kid wouldn't believe in that? We as parents, we school them. Knock a tooth out, we'll give you $2, $5, $10, whatever it might be. And so instantly we associate belief in the tooth fairy with money. I exchange a tooth to the tooth fairy gives me money. That's a good deal in a young mind. And so they grow up believing in the tooth fairy. Well, when I grew up and didn't have any teeth left, I discovered the tooth fairy didn't actually exist. Tooth fairy never existed. That was just my parents playing little games with me. And society plays little games with us. They throw little nuggets at us. And if you believe this, this will be what you'll get. And these transactions cause us to believe a lie that is cleverly disguised as a truth. No judgment on any parents here with the tooth fairy thing. I do it all the time with the grandkids now. Sorry if I've spoilt the news for any kids in the room. But it's just true. These things don't exist. How about a 25-year-old male adult child? His truth is, well, my parents kicked me out of the house because they don't love me. That's his truth. That's what he tells all his mates. That's what he tells all his friends. When the truth is possibly the parents love him far too much to let him stay at home and not move his life forward, so they asked him to leave home. Yeah. There is a big difference between my truth and the truth. How many of you are warming up to that thought? There really is a big difference between my truth and the truth. You see, there is a truth that is little t truth, and there is a truth that is capital T truth. And I'm talking about the capital T's here. I'm talking about the big truths of life. I'm talking about the big truths of God's Word. And not every belief that we pick up in life about God, about us, about others, about church, about what we do, is a capital T truth. There's a lot of little T's truths that we have made capital T's. And we need to reduce them and make sure we walk in capital T truth. You see, if we need to live in a world... if we have to live in a world where we need to validate everyone's truth as the truth, then our world quickly becomes crazy. If we've got to validate everyone's truth as the truth, then it's a crazy world, because we lose the base and the foundation of this universal thought of truth. You see, in that world, which our world is fast becoming, anyone can say what they want, do what they want, be what they want, and it's all good because it's their truth. They can say what they want, do what they want, be what they want, because it's their truth. And I'm just going to live my truth. See, it sounds good, but it's really destructive. It is really destructive. In that world, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or evil in that world. And this is the indoctrination that is taking place philosophically in our world and in our universities. It's developing, and we need to be aware of this. Nobody can question anybody in that world or call anybody out, because it's my truth. You live your truth, I'll live my truth, and we'll all be happy. And we're just supposed to accept the truth of others. Recently, there was a 69-year-old man in the Netherlands who petitioned the courts to have his age changed. He went to the courts to change his age legally, because he was legally 69, but he felt 49. And so he wanted to legally change his age to 49. How dumb is that? But that's what happens in a world of my truth. Of my truth. In a world of my truth, listen to this, because this is a word that's going to become increasingly popular. It's a world of self-determination. Self-determination. In other words, you get to determine your gender. Now, breaking news, but you don't actually get to determine your own gender. It's already determined. And it's easily discovered. And it's not rocket science. And I don't need a degree to explain it to you. I can draw you a picture, but it might be a little offensive. You get the image? You don't get to self-determine your gender. But they're telling us you can. He tried to self-determine his age because that's how old he feels. See, gender has become unquestionable because it's my truth. It doesn't matter how you dress it up, honey. You are what God has made you to be. Amen. That is the truth. You know, the truth is that God is the creator of all truth. That's the truth. That God is a creator of all truth. He created the universe to exist and to function on truth. And to deny truth is to deny God, and that's what's going on. To deny truth with a capital T is to deny God. To say there is no truth is only my truth, your truth, or our truth. That's just simply not the truth. There is a the truth, a capital T truth, that's above everything else. And God actually designed our lives to be lived in sync with his truth. And this is where true success and happiness and freedom and joy in life is found. And it's when we align ourselves, and this is what we're trying to do, and this is what Paul tells us to do, is to come into maturity by aligning ourselves with the truth of God and the truth of who God is in our world. The truth about truth is that truth is fixed, and truth is like a landmark. It's immovable. It's always there. And it's not something I make up. It's something I actually discover as I mature in the life journey. The truth is that truth is like a plumb line to build with, that a builder uses a plumb line to build a straight wall with. It's determined by the way the plumb line falls. That's what the Bible says the Word of God is like. It's like a plumb line. It's like a foundation for us to build upon. Truth is not true for someone over here and not true for someone on this side. Truth is true for all. It's true for every human being, no matter the nationality they host or the level of society they're involved in. Truth is true for everyone. You see, we can deny the truth, but your denial does not disempower the truth. It's still there. Like, I can deny gravity and jump off this stage and think I will float, but I have learned from experience when I've fallen off this stage before that I don't float as much as I want to float, as much as I think positive thoughts about floating. As much as I feel really confident that I can walk on air, I can't. Because there's a law that I'm subject to that will make me fall and fall quickly and hurt myself if I'm not prepared for the fall. Understand truth. Truth conforms to facts. Truth is not negotiable. Truth is consistent. Truth is indisputable. And truth is an absolute reality, and the laws of nature, like the law of gravity, is a perfect example of the truths that God has put in place within our universe, and we ignore them at our peril. We ignore these truths at our peril. You see, truth is like true north for us. True north is a space, it's a zone that helps us travel in the right direction. It's a fixed point on which all travel is based. It's a geographic point on the North Pole that gives direction for everybody to know where they are in the world in terms of travel and destination. True North keeps us on track. True North is something God created and man discovered. It was always there, but we stumbled upon it. And we're stumbling upon God's truths all the time, in a sense. So true North is fixed, unmovable. It's a dependable landmark. You know, Jesus championed truth. He championed it. Jesus said his purpose was to bear witness to the truth, to point out what the truth is. Jesus said, everyone who listens to the truth hears my voice. Hears my voice. Jesus said, knowing the truth will set you free. What good news that is. Knowing the truth will actually set people free. It doesn't tie them up. It doesn't bring them into bondage. It actually liberates them, brings them into a whole new level of life and experience. Jesus said, my words are truth to build upon. And when the storms of life come, your life will not be flattened by the storms that you encounter because you've built on the foundation of my truth being his word, not the truth that we host as our truth. You see, finally, when we call something your truth, what you actually do is you sabotage your ability to grow in God's truth about you. When you host stuff in your heart as my truth and elevate that above God's truth, what happens is we sabotage our ability to grow in God's truth. And if you're a parent, not only do you sabotage your ability, you sabotage the ability of your children. You sabotage their ability to grow in God's truth about them. And not only for them, it continues on for generation after generation after generation until truth is re-embraced by somebody. We need a generation that's going to re-embrace truth. We need a generation that's going to take truth back and let go of what we call my truth, our truth, and live according to God's truth. One of the most beneficial relationships you can form in your world and your life and your thinking and your education and your preparation for your future is to have a good relationship with truth. Have a solid, sound relationship with truth. Learning to build on God's truth is one of the most beneficial relationships and decisions you can make in life. Learning to probe, learning to ponder, learning to ask questions, to be inquisitive, to be hungry for truth, to be passionate for truth, to live for truth. I just think we need to escalate the desires in all of those areas to engage and interact with truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You know, truth is actually a person. Jesus is saying, I am that. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're online today and you're listening and you've not yet engaged with Christ, with Jesus, with God, the way you should in terms of Him being the truth in your life. I'm not sure what your truth is. I'm not sure what verbiage you apply around your truth. But if Christ is not the center of your truth, if He is not the foundation of your truth, if He is not the living truth that you walk with, you abide in, you're growing in, then your truth needs to be surrendered to Him. Your truth needs to be surrendered to Him. Maybe you've not received Jesus as your truth today. Maybe you've not received Jesus as your truth today. Today would be a good day. Actually, today would be a great day to say, I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in truth. I've tried walking in my truth. I've tried walking in the truth of other things and philosophies and ideologies and even religions and faiths. But I've never really discovered the truth. And it all starts with discovering the person of truth, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please? If you're at home today, would you just lean in for a few moments as we draw to a close around the concept of the person of truth. You know, the pathway of life that you're meant to be on, we're all meant to be on, is the pathway of truth, because it's truth that will not only set you free, it'll move you forward. It'll bring you into fulfillment. It'll bring you into fruitfulness in terms of being the person that God called you to be and dreamt that you would be. And it's really God at the end of the day that knows our purpose. Nobody knows the purpose of a thing like the creator of a thing. I don't know whether you've ever seen someone create a certain machinery and you look at it and think, what the heck? What, like, how does this thing work? What's it do? And the inventor, the one who put it together, the one who engineered it, they know every button to push. They know what everything does. They know what the end product's going to be. But we look at it dumbfounded. And sometimes we look at ourselves that way. We look at ourselves dumbfounded. And we think, I didn't come with a manual. I need somebody to show me how to work this machinery. And you are a mighty fine bit of machinery. Some of you needed to hear that today. Some of you you're a mighty fine bit of machinery. But it's your creator that knows you better than anything else and anybody else. He knows the buttons to push. Others have been pushing buttons, but they ain't been working. He knows the buttons to push. He knows how to get the best out of who you are designed to be. God's your creator. He knows you better than anyone else. And His truth, His word, is your truth for you to build and construct your life on. God's truth is truth to you. It's truth to you. It's not old-fashioned. It's not archaic. It's not obsolete. It's not of a previous generation and of no value to this world and this generation today. It's actually the truth for all times, the plumb line, the foundation that we can build our lives on. Don't allow the negative history. Don't allow the negative history or experiences that have impacted you and affected you to empower your story and to determine your truth. And to determine your future, and to determine who you will be, and to determine your legacy. Your legacy, your future, is not tied to the negative components of your story. They are tied to the positive power of the presence of God's truth in your heart and in your life. So rather than hosting all the negatives, let them go and host the positive of God's truth, the positive of God's word, the positive of who God says that you are, and that will set you free. That will set you free. And there are some people here today, you really need to be set free. You need to be set free. You need to say, I need a relationship with truth. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to find a better way because I've been doing it my way. And the Bible says your way leads to death. It leads to death, but God's way leads to life. Don't try and argue with it. Don't try and understand everything about it before you embrace it. Believe it. The Bible says we need to take a step of faith and believe it. That's what faith is. It's embracing the truth as something that's purposeful, useful to guide our lives. And so, you know, embracing the truth is simply God's invitation to break every limitation. It's God's invitation to break every limitation. And the limitations of life are not limitations that we were ever meant to carry. And the most powerful tool, listen to this, the most powerful tool you have, sorry, Oprah, the most powerful tool you have is speaking the truth not our truth, that is the most powerful tool that we all have. That's the most powerful tool we all have. Not my truth, but the truth. Father, I pray for people today. I pray you would help us to engage and embrace with your truth, God, your truth. Not the truth that we host about ourselves, but your truth today. Help people now that need to make a decision to open up to you and say, I want to receive the truth today. I want to receive Jesus Christ into my heart and life today. I want to walk in the truth of his world and his word for my life. And I want to build upon the foundation of that truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're in the room today, can I speak to you for just a moment before we close? If you're online today, if you've not yet asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life and surrendered your heart, your world, your life, your family, your future, your present, your past to Jesus Christ, if you've not offered it to God, if you've not engaged with his truth and received his truth, this decision right now is the most important decision that you are ever going to make, to open up your heart and say, God, I need your truth. I need your truth today. Now, the majority of people in this room, you've done that today. And online, you've done that today. But for some, you've not done that. You've not established that foundation of thought. You've not surrendered that to God, your heart, your life to God. The truth is, every one of us need to do that. The truth is, every one of us have fallen short of what God has expected of us, and we need a Savior. That's the truth today. And the good news is, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever's going on in your world right now, God has not given up on you. He's ready just to step in right now. He's ready to step in and engage with your life today. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, right across our auditorium today, if that's you and you need to engage with the truth of who Jesus is for your world, the reality of Jesus Christ today, the truth to set you free, to start your life on the right path, the right direction towards a future and a legacy that will be solid and sound and it's tried and proven. If you're ready to do that today, my invitation to you is to accept and engage and embrace everything that Jesus offers you today. And I want to help you do that today. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is I'm going to simply ask you to lift up your hand nice and high. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I've got everyone else with their eyes closed. I just want to identify you. I want to see your hand. I'm going to ask you to put it down. And then I'm going to pray a prayer for you from stage. Just going to pray a prayer for God to come into your heart and to begin a relationship with you. And then I'd love to meet with you just for a few seconds and give you a Bible and just do what we can to help you on this journey of life and building your life on the foundation of Jesus. So if you're here today, you're online today, if you're online, you can comment in the comment section. You can say yes, and we'll have one of our team get back to you very, very quickly and respond to you and pray with you and help you as you make this decision to say yes to Jesus. So if you're in the room or online today and you're saying yes to Jesus, online, do it in the comments. If you're in the room today, would you lift up your hand nice and high for me right now? Let me see your hand while everyone else's head's bowed, eyes closed, giving you privacy, respect today. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. What an amazing decision you're making today. Somebody else, is that you? Is that your determination? Come on, we talked about self-determination. This is the best self-determination decision you can make right now, that I will say yes to Jesus and ask him to come into my heart and life and build on his truth. Right across the hall, if that's you today, put up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. If I've missed you, just wave it so I can see you today. If you're online, make sure you're commenting right now and saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray today for people that are online that are saying yes to Jesus right now. People that are going to watch this and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. Come into their hearts. Come into their lives today in Jesus' name. For this lady that has lifted her hand today in the in-person, I pray, Father, come with all your grace and all your presence and all your power right now and set her free. Let the truth of God's word that she is loved, she is valued, she has a part to play, and you have good plans for her future and her now, her present. Lord, let that all come true right now and help people Just get on the pathway of life is what I pray today, and walk in your truth and discover your truth every day and live the best version of who you have seen them to be. That's my prayer today in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church, why don't we give a hand today to people that are making that decision to come into truth and relationship with Jesus today. What a great decision. I'd love to meet those that raised their hands today. If you'd come down to the front straight after the service, just want to say hello and introduce myself to you today and some of our team. We're going to sing this old song. This is an old Keith Green song. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see, as we conclude our service today. Come on, lean in for a moment. Just worship with God.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful.
Prayer. Father, we pray today, light the fire, Lord, that once burned bright and clear. Restore it, replace it, whatever. Lord, we just want it burning deep within every one of us today. We love you. We thank you for who you are and everything you do within our lives and our world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for those who are with us online today. Have an amazing day. Cafe's open for hospitality. Make sure you take a few moments to connect with people today. Don't forget the church picnic next Sunday, straight after church. God bless. Thank you.